Welcome to the Life of a Gentleman podcast, the number one podcast to learn about the hottest men's fashion and grooming brands. We interview the brand owners so you get the inside story. We'll also discuss fashion, business, and entrepreneurship, and all things gentlemen. Whether you're looking to advance your career, increase your style, or just discover the best new products, you're in the right place. And now, here's your host, award-winning author, entrepreneur, and business owner, Richard Taylor. Hey, Rich, let's start the show.
Hey, everybody. It's DeAndre Marie, the producer of The Life of a Gentleman, and I will be guiding you through today's episode. Richard is out. He is super busy fulfilling orders of his brand, Harrison Blake Apparel, so he asked me to step in. And first and foremost, everyone on the Life of a Gentleman staff hopes that you all had a great and fantastic start to your 2018 new year. New year, new us, right? We always want to be on this journey of becoming a gentleman and getting better through lifestyle, business, fashion, and we definitely aim to keep that up in this year moving forward. So before we get into any new content this year, we want to do one more throwback episode just so we can all get on the right track for 2018. And the first interview we're going to revisit is Knowing the Alpha Female. This was when Richard sat down with Cece Lyons, the author of Alpha Females Unleashed, From the Boardroom to the Bedroom. And this is where Cece educated Richard on the characteristics of an alpha female and how they carry themselves, how they want to be approached. Being that, again, this is a new year, we want to step up. We want to end up dating alpha females. We want our gentleman status and how we treat everyone else to attract an alpha female. And Cece breaks it all the way down for us. So without any further ado, let's listen to Cece Lyons once again tell Richard all about the alpha female, only on The Life of a Gentleman.
And now it's time for this week's segment of The Gentleman's News. Exclusive interviews with exceptional people discussing all things gentleman, from business to fashion to lifestyle, industry leaders, authors, and more. This is The Gentleman's News.
Welcome back, everyone, to another edition of The Life of a Gentleman podcast. Today on the line, special, special guest. We are talking to an author, and this is no ordinary book, gentlemen. This is going to be something that I think you'll enjoy. It'll be a very thought-provoking interview. Who I'm talking about is Cece Lyons. She has the new book, Alpha Females Unleashed. You may be wondering what that is. She is going to tell us. Cece, how's it going?
It's going great. How about you?
I'm doing good. I'm so glad to have you on the line. You know, we connected over social media, and this book title, it's really provocative. We want to know exactly, you know, what is this alpha females? How did you come up with it? Give us some background.
Absolutely. You know, this particular subject matter has been you know, talked underground by many women for a very long time. And the term alpha female has been overused in such a poor manner and portrayed so poorly in the media, movies, books, just in general, to where it was where me and some friends were just talking, and I started noticing a pattern on certain types of women. And it's the woman that commands attention. It's the woman that you know who she is when she walks in the room. She doesn't try to be anything but herself, and yet they all fall around her, you know, for whatever reason. She brings that aura. She brings that sense of purpose. And so it was time to where I started thinking about it through history. These women have always existed, but they've always been either burned at the stake, literally, in the Dark Ages, or tried to be constrained or held, or what society tells them even today of what a woman is and what a woman isn't. And these women are the women that are truly the non-societal norm to what society says a woman should be, because they move like the alpha male, but they still have their femininity as a female, which makes them the most dangerous, probably, entity out there.
Yeah, I definitely can see. We all know that type of woman when she walks in the room. Everybody's head turns. You notice her. Exactly what kind of book is this? Is this a story? Are these interviews? How does this play out?
So this book is actually based off of real interviews from men and women. Every race, creed, color, every age group, sexual preference, you name it. I interviewed it, religion type and all. CEOs down to the person you meet in the club that you just don't want to meet in the club anymore, right? That you don't want to know. Okay. The next day. And even part from myself. And so it was literally on the subject matter. I didn't think people would want to disclose stories about either people they've dated, themselves, and the trials and tribulations of them being an alpha female, or even those who weren't alpha females and or alpha male. But what happened was exactly the opposite. I had to literally stop doing interviews because I couldn't fly around the U.S. fast enough. The total number of interviews that occurred was probably about 70, and not even all of them were used for this book. So this book, it's what I call a motivational narrative. You have the story, and then you have the narrative of what you want people to get from the story. So there are characters, and I think people can resonate with those characters in the book.
That sounds really interesting, the way you got that set up and all these real life stories and things like that. You know, for our listeners, you know, I'm thinking one of the things that might be a question they want me to ask is, how's the best way to approach an alpha female? You know, we might see one out, you know, we might work with one. How do we approach one? Some guys are a little nervous when it comes to stepping up.
So it's interesting you asked that question, because that was one of the questions we asked men a lot. I asked those men a lot about, you know, how do they think they would approach an alpha female, and do you know one when you really see one versus what you think it is? And what was interesting is that, I'll say it this way, it depends on what setting you're approaching her in. If you're referring to on the job, show her the respect, just as you would any other colleague. Because if you don't, he will definitely let you know that she's not to be disrespected in a very nice, political, yet stern manner, right? If it's more in a social setting, let's say from a dating setting, the one thing I would advise any man is, do not lump her in with the one-liners that you would use on any other woman. That will get you shut down very quickly. Pay attention and be yourself.
Okay, that's some good advice. I mean, I think guys should stay away from those one-liners anyway. I don't think they're really working these days.
I will say it this way. Even if you come with a one-liner, it has to be so unique that it captures her attention. But you cannot approach her as you would, and I'll say you can't lump her in with the everyday woman. That's going to be a no-no. You won't even get past, barely past hello.
Yeah, and that's the goal, to definitely get past hello. But, you know, a lot of these women, they're so successful. You know, they're very accomplished and professional. Sometimes they come across as intimidating for guys. You know, if you're a guy that feels that way, what advice would you give? Should they just, you know, bow out? You know, this isn't the kind of woman that they need to even be pursuing. Is that the case?
Not at all. So this is where I would say, this is not on her side, this is more on the guy's side, because that's about his insecurity. She's not trying to intimidate anyone. Now, and if she wants to, but from my everyday perspective, she's just being who she is. Now, these women usually are successful. No matter if they're in, let's just say if they're in the Peace Corps, they're running the Peace Corps. If they're in corporate America, such as myself, you're an executive in corporate America. The thing of it is that the one thing I would say to a guy from this perspective is, just because a woman looks successful does not necessarily mean she's an alpha female, and that's the mistake that gets made. Because there's a lot of people that believe just because this woman has a nice car, a nice home, and she's doing well on the job, does not mean she's alpha. Very different. Type A personality does not equate with alpha female. It's a completely different set of wiring.
Ooh, that's good to know. You know, definitely when people hear alpha, they think type A personality. So do us a favor, kind of define the alpha female in 30 to 60 seconds, if you can.
So I'll sum it up in three words, and that's a tagline in the book. They're beauty, power, and soul. That's who they are.
Yeah, we don't want to mistake them for type A personality. So kind of what are the differences between the two? What are some signs that we're definitely dealing with the alpha female versus, you know, an imposter, if you will?
The imposter is going to be the one that's going to tell it to you. If they have to protest it too much, that's not who they are. If they have to be the woman, stand up, hear me roar, and I'm, you know, I'm this independent, that's not who they are. Actually, these women are actually pretty quiet and very stealthy. They'll never state it because it's already understood, if that makes sense.
No, that makes sense. I think they have a little quiet confidence about them. You know, there's no need to broadcast who they are. I kind of like that. I think most guys would kind of be drawn to that. I'd like you to go ahead and tell us a little bit more about this book. What is really the ultimate goal of the book? Does it just kind of help us understand more, or does it help men and women kind of have this relationship?
So this book is to educate and what I call unleashing the minds of parents who may bring home that little girl and quickly find out she's not like the rest of the little girls. For the young lady that understands that she's different, and she doesn't realize why she's not like other girls. And when I say like other girls, she has emotions, but she's not emotional. She's calculating. She likes hanging with the guys. She may not have as many female friends because they're way too much drama filled. She aligns more with the guys, but yet she still has a femininity and is not masculine. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. I follow you. But you're saying this can be identified, these characteristics can be identified at a young, early age. Is that what I'm hearing?
Very much so. Very much so. Probably from either, I've seen it on young women and girls as young as 4 or 5. But a lot of times the parents will start picking it up when they're about probably 1, 2 years old. You can start to see it on them. And you will see it because that magnetism and that charisma and that, I will say, unbridled power, that thing that draws people to them, they will start nursery school. They're leading the class. Other kids are following them, and no one knows why. Why them? Why not others?
Yeah,
they get the kids to do what they want to do, right? They will have their peers working for them at the lemonade stand. So this is where you start to see it. And I'll say this, I'll just disclose a little piece of the book that they probably will resonate with. That girl may not ever play with baby dolls. I was that girl. From 1 year old, they tried to give me baby dolls, and I just refused to play with them. That kind of freaked me out, but never played with them. And so, of course, as a parent, every girl should want to play with a baby doll. Not this one. No, no, thank you. You may have that to happen, and so parents are going to look and say, well, what's wrong with my daughter? Nothing's wrong with your daughter. That's just not who she is. That's not her thing. You'd probably be rather playing sports or dealing with a puzzle or something else different. So it's not about gender-specific toys. But the book also addresses this alpha female in corporate America. Given corporate America has to watch her own ego, and yet how corporate America deals with her and how she deals with it, as well as the men's side on here's how you date them, here's how they think, here's how they move, and to if they're going to want to marry you, when relationships go well and when relationships go horribly wrong for them, and how they can get caught in very bad situations because the things that men are drawn to, it becomes a love-hate, is the things they start to disdain with them.
Okay, yeah. I can see how that could happen. Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to even the part of her being in the bedroom. She's a beast from the boardroom to the bedroom. That's the book. Alpha Females Unleashed, from the boardroom to the bedroom. Their libido is higher than most men, right? And then on top of that, they even have their dark side. And what is their dark side? And what is their addiction? Because believe it or not, they are what I call addicts. And now, what are they always addicted to? So all that's disclosed in the book, and it's the things and parts that people never really peered into before.
Yeah, this seems like it's a really deep book. You know, a lot to think about, a lot to take in, but a lot of practical wisdom that you're giving too. You're an expert on this subject, you know, naturally. So I'm thinking, could you give us maybe, are there any names of people that maybe, you know, the listeners may recognize that you've identified that are in the media or the public eye as being an alpha female?
Oh, absolutely. So in the first chapter of the book, I actually walk you through time of the people that you know that are literally those alpha females, starting with Eve herself. When you can get a man to defy God, you're a bad chick, right? you're a bad woman. It starts right there, you know? But, you know, you're looking at the Oprah Winfrey's. And if you really want to know one of the biggest ones right now that's been everywhere is Hillary. Love her or hate her, woman is who she is. And so, for instance, let's just say Hillary. If people believe that Hillary didn't have this plan of where she was going to be, especially running for office, she started that plan at the age of about 8 to 10. Bill didn't choose her. She chose him with the plan in mind, right? She had one kid because that's what you're supposed to do to make it look good to get where she wanted to be. It sounds cold, but these women are calculating. They're not nurturers, but they love, but they're not nurturers. They have emotions, but not emotional. But if you cross that line with them, you're kind of going to sleep with the fishes. So if you notice, that's how Hillary moves. And as many times as they tried to burn this woman at the stake, look how much she's actually overcome. You can't keep them down.
You know, that kind of brings me back, since you mentioned Hillary, and I don't want to get political, but some people felt like her lack of success was because she wasn't viewed by a lot of the general public as being quote-unquote likable. Is that something that falls in line with this theory that the alpha woman is misunderstood. You know, perhaps America was looking for someone to be more docile.
Absolutely. So that's, again, this is where that double standard, right? It's okay for a man, but not okay for a woman. And so there's a lot of people that believe that women can't be alpha either. But you have one there with her. And so because of society's definition that a woman should be, quote unquote, nurturing. And this is because it's portrayed that way. You think about every movie, everything you've seen. And I talk about this in the book about how society and media literally puts that in the minds of people. If she's not looking XYZ, then that means she's not the woman you really want, or better yet, they have to be punished for something. Now, think about it. She's in a man's world and she survived. She survived the most of those men ever in there, and they still can't pin her down. She'll be back. She'll just be back, probably backing a different candidate, and I guarantee it's probably going to be another woman because she's not done. So it's where that stereotype, which is why this book was actually done, to start dispelling those myths and saying this is really who she is. And I'm just going to call it out there, and hopefully, you know, no one gets offended by it, but she's called bitch many a days. Now, she understands that most men are going to call her that, even most women. And for the most part, she doesn't quite mind as much because she's a bitch, but she's not bitchy. As long as you put miss on the front of it and give her the respect that's due.
Yeah, I definitely can see how this book can open up our minds to think about the way that we label people. And, you know, I've got to applaud your efforts because it seems like this book is really hot. It's taken off. From what I understand, you know, you're getting a lot of interest and the discussion about this book is really growing. What's your plans for the future with this?
So the plans for the future is, one, I'm trying to unleash as many minds as I possibly can. It's not necessarily start a movement, because this is not about a women's liberation. So I don't want people to confuse it with that. It was literally about stand up and take a look in what I call, and I literally in the book call these women mutants. I like the X-Men. Because there's a secret power and one will always recognize another, but you're not quite sure why they are what they are, right? What's that DNA? I have two other siblings that are women, very well accomplished, but they're not me. They're not. And so now it's trying to unleash as many minds, maybe get this into a movie, but the main thing is get it to grow. Actually, I'm in the process of having shirts done for men and women that have hashtag unleashed, because I believe that as many men's minds are unleashed, it's unleashing a lot of women's minds. And the one question that's been coming from women, especially in the interviews, has been, I may not be totally alpha. However, I may have some of these qualities. Now, how do I utilize them in my life without feeling like I'm being ostracized or I feel like I'm not turning someone off? Because in the book, I literally go through the differences between the true alpha, what I call the augmented alpha, and then the completely non-alpha. And the true alpha is the one that are born that way. Born, bred, hardwired, they come to this world this way. You're never going to change who they are. And then there's the augmented alpha, where they're not necessarily born that way, but something happens in life where they could become a little bit more on the, what I call the more quote-unquote average woman side, but otherwise then they take a different turn and something interjects in their life where they become more alpha-like, where they have almost all persona, but you find where they are not initially hardwired that way, but they're successful and they kind of move in the same manner. And then you have the women that just aren't. And all three are okay. And that's what I say in the book. All three are okay to be. It's not about good or bad. It's just recognizing these women do exist. And they always have.
Yeah, they definitely do. Before you go, let us know. If we want to learn more, follow you, or pick up a copy of the book, how do we do those things?
Like the Facebook page at facebook.com, CC Lyons, L-Y-O-N-S. If you go, it's on Amazon, Kindle, Barnes & Noble, and Nook. You can follow me on Twitter, at CC Lyons 5, the number 5, and follow me on Instagram at cc.lyons, cc.lyons. And I'm going to say I encourage the guys to definitely pick up the book, definitely post reviews, and definitely post pictures to the Facebook page, because I'm allowing people to do that, pictures of them with the book, or tag it even on Instagram. If you find where, definitely hit you guys up, and if you find where a lot of the guys and your listeners want to do a discussion over drinks, I will fly there and personally pay for the drinks, because I would love to get the discussion with the men.
Oh, that sounds great, Cece. We have really enjoyed having you on the podcast, and we'd love to follow up in the future and hear more about what you have going. But thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
I definitely appreciate it, and I would love to come back anytime. You will definitely be hearing from me, and as as soon as I get the guy shirts in, I have one for you.
All right, sounds good.
Whew, that is still one of my favorite interviews. I just love the way Cece breaks down who the alpha female is and gives listeners cheat codes on how they can attract one or how they can approach one. And like Richard always says, none of us are perfect. We are all on this journey together. But what's life without some guidance and some cheat codes and some tidbits on how we can be better, right? Now, for all of you just tuning in, my name is DeAndre Marie. I am the producer of the Life of a Gentleman podcast. Richard is out fulfilling the numerous orders of Harrison Blake apparel. And if you don't know what that is, I suggest you check them out. You can get one necktie and four additional accessories per month, a subscription, or you can buy them all separately. Just head on over to harrisonblakeapparel.com and just add to the orders that Richard is doing, and we'll definitely be back with new content next week. But before that, let's get into another throwback moment on the Life of a Gentleman. And this is where our resident stylist, Dennis Styles, dropped by to talk to Richard about aging with style. Just because you get older doesn't mean you're outdated. It doesn't mean you have to start wearing jeans and the dad cap. You can still be ageless and timeless and still carry yourself as a gentleman. So Dennis and Richard both gave tips about remaining stylish and relevant regardless of your age. So if you want to learn how to do that, just continue listening. This is our throwback episode on the Life of a Gentleman.
Here's a brief word from our sponsor. This podcast has been brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel. Visit them online for a great selection of neckties, pocket squares, and menswear accessories. Want to really step up your style? Join their monthly subscription club. For $25 per month, you'll receive one necktie plus four additional matching accessories. And now it's time for the segment we like to call The Gentleman's Look. A look into fashion, style, and accessories. This is The Gentleman's Look.
Hey guys, today we're going to definitely be diving into a topic that I think everybody is going to be interested in at some point in their life. And if it hasn't happened for you yet, trust me, it will. And that's when you start to age. But before we get into that, let's bring in our style expert here, Dennis Styles. Welcome to the show.
Hey man, how are you, man? I love this topic. It's something that everyone needs to hear. So it's very important.
Yeah, definitely. You know, something that when you're in your 20s, you don't think about aging with grace and style. You know, you think you're going to be young forever. Then one day you wake up and look in the mirror and you start to see a little bit of gray around the edges. So does that mean that's it for you? The style stops? It's time to break out the sweatpants?
No, not yet, man. That's what we're going to emphasize right now. The do's and don'ts. Now, to most, fashion is like a means to stay relevant. Kind of like in the same way, you know, like art, films, and books. It's timeless. It's never going to go away. Like reading, looking at art, it's just going to be something that you're going to love. Now, the key here is that fashion, in my opinion on fashion and age and appropriate clothes or styles, is simple. There's none. What I mean by that is, if you wear a suit in your 20s compared to when you wear a suit 30s and 40s, it's going to be the same thing. The only thing that's going to change is you're getting older, but you're still the same gentleman. That's why when kids have a lot hard time, you know, when they get their first job, they have a hard time of, oh my God, what store do I go to get a suit? How do you wear a suit? What kind of shirt should I buy? Should I match my tie with my pocket square? They have no idea. So that's why it's very important to start young and keep that process going all the way down to your grandpa, pretty much.
Yeah, I like that. You know, it is an evolution. You know, when you start off, you don't really know the do's and the don'ts. But as you take this style journey, you learn more. And sometimes people think that they get to a point where they can't be stylish anymore, but I gotta disagree with them. Now, maybe you could give some examples of people that we all know that are quote-unquote famous that have good style and that we can kind of emulate.
Let's say, you know, older guy, gray-haired guy, he's walking down the street, he's got, you know, bootcut jeans and a t-shirt and a fleece sweater and maybe some boots. If I was to take that guy, that same gentleman, and put him in a well-fitting suit, you would think he's like Richard Gere or George Clooney. So what I'm trying to say, guys, is that the older you get, stay fashionable, stay clean, you know, make sure you take care of yourself. Because it doesn't matter how old you are. Even if you have gray hair, if you don't have hair, the clothes stand out on its own. It's the way you carry yourself. So gray hair is cool. I want gray hair because I'm going to be stylish when I get old. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I like the picture that you painted. That really helps us to think about, you know, there's two ways to age, you know, gracefully with style or, you know, kind of going downhill like you're being put out to pasture. We've all seen those guys, you know, with the dad jeans on and the indiscriminate sneakers and the fleece pullover. They might have a team logo on their chest. And
sounds like Michigan.
Yeah, you see a lot of that when you're walking around the state of Michigan. But sadly, when you see that, you know, what happens? Your mind already starts to paint a picture of that guy. You think, you know, just some average Joe living for the weekend, you know, happy to watch a little college football.
Maybe go home and have some cute cat beers.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the same guy, like you said, in a suit or in a nice pair of slacks and sports coat, all of a sudden you perceive him a whole lot differently. You think he must be successful. He's an older man. He's got himself together. He's clean, presentable. You think he's got a little bit of money in his pocket. He's walking with good posture. And that's a whole nother subject. But the thing is, studies have shown when you dress well, your confidence level goes up. So even that you're older, you don't hang your head and feel like I'm this over-the-hill guy. You feel more confident, exactly. Ready to tackle the world.
Oh, and then the gray hair, you know, all of a sudden looks like something attractive. What I mean, but it wouldn't if the guy, you know, like the way we painted a picture of him in his fleece and that jean.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. So why don't we run down a couple of tips that we can do, guys that are getting a little bit up in age. A lot of times we help out the younger guys that are just starting their style journey, but how about us middle-aged guys and those that are even in their 50s and 60s? What are some things they can do to stay relevant and still be able to get out there and attract some attention that maybe they're trying to get? Who knows, maybe they're a divorcee or maybe they're a widower and they want to get back out there in the game. And man, you are not going to attract anything with some dad jeans on and an oversized sweatshirt. It's not going to work. So what's the first tip you'd give?
Now, one thing you have to do is you have to reinvent yourself. What I mean by that is you're no longer that kid, you know, that once, if you got married or when you were younger, no more skinny jeans. Obviously, we can't do that at a certain age. But what you do is you replace that with straight fit, slim fit. You know, slim fit is not the same as skinny jeans. It's kind of like an upgrade to, you know, once you get older, you're not going to be wearing skinny jeans, riding a skateboard. So that's the number one thing you have to do is reinvent yourself. And that's the fun process, guys, because that allows you to be somebody different again, somebody that you want to be. Pretty much reinvent yourself as far as like the pants you buy. When you go shopping, make sure these pieces are relevant and stuff for the season that you're gonna pretty much wear right away. And those staple pieces are gonna stay with you as you get older. That's the key. When you waste your money on stuff that, you know, kids are wearing now, it's not gonna be any good 5 years, 3 years from now when you keep getting older.
I like that tip a lot. Like you said, this is about dressing your age. So the skinny jeans, you're right. That will look weird on a middle-aged guy. Our bodies really aren't even built to have the skinny jeans on. And it's just going to look like you're trying to be young, which brings me to my point, is you don't want to go too young. You want to look nice. You want to look like a fashionable guy, but you don't want to be going too trendy, if you follow what I'm saying. So there's some looks that are kind of geared for people in their 20s, in their 30s. And as you age, you might want to have a more classic look that's suitable for a quote-unquote gentleman. Things to stay away from. Going too young, I would add into that list team jerseys for a casual setting. Even if you're going to be attending a game, that team jersey does not look cool when you're out of shape, you're not having an athletic build anymore, and you kind of have a little front porch going on with the belly. That jersey, man, it looks sloppy. So stay away from the team jerseys and also baseball caps with team logos or anything else like that. It also, those are for kids. You can't really pull that off once you hit middle age. It just looks like you're trying too hard to be young.
Yeah, enjoy the process. You know, it's a beautiful thing. What I would do is, if you do want to wear sweaters, let's start doing some crew neck cable sweaters. Simplified thing. Just put a dress shirt underneath or a V-neck sweater. If you wanted to wear a tie, and just go basic with jeans. Dark jeans. That's it. No ripped jeans. You know, wearing our 50s, wearing our 60s, 40s. So you could wear ripped jeans, I guess, but keep it limited.
Yeah, that's perfect. My next tip would also be with the grooming and certain styles of haircuts and the way you groom your beard, things like that. You got to be careful too once you hit that middle age and beyond. You can't pull off some of these new hairstyles. Maybe your hairline is receding or thinning, but even if it's not, even if you're blessed with a full head of hair, there's some styles that are best left to the young people. Even how you groom up your beard, if you choose to have a beard, it needs to be done in a classy way. You don't want to get too cute or unique with these designs anymore. And it's definitely time to let go of putting any kind of lines or designs into your hair, especially after 40. It just looks like you're trying too hard. And when you do that, you're not going to get the attention you want. You're going to get attention, but it's going to be people that are laughing at you and not complimenting you.
Yeah, I mean, we're not telling you that you cannot get a fade anymore. Just get a side part cut. Just a little bit of fade on the side, maybe a 1.5. He's clean, you know what I mean? And it's ageless, timeless, where you're able to transition any decade.
That's perfect. I think the key word that keeps coming back up is ageless and timeless. When you talk about fashion, there are certain things that you can add to your wardrobe that are never going to go out of style. So, Dennis, why don't you let us know a couple of the items that you might want to have in your arsenal if you are at that middle age to ensure that you will be stylish.
Dark wash jeans, chinos, cable sweaters, merino sweaters, and sports coat.
Yeah, that sounds good. I think people get the general idea. And then, you know, for shirts, of course, just button up Oxford shirt. You can get them in white, blue, yeah. Off-white, cream, things like that. Basic colors. No need to get too funky with it. The thing about it is you want this wardrobe to last you, you know, through those years. And if you're trying to be trendy and chasing after these trends, it doesn't make any sense to really be doing that in your 40s. When you're at that age, you should have the means to purchase quality, which we all want to do anyway, but especially at that age, you want to be making sure you're doing quality over quantity. And when you do that, those items are really going to last you with care at least 20 years. So that's going to take you, you know, all the way up until, like you said, to the grandpa years. And we all want to be that stylish grandpa. We don't want to be the grandpa that's kind of pushed in the corner and everybody's talking about and wiping our mouth, wiping the crumbs off. We want to still be real stylish, don't we?
Of course. Remember, guys, we're not telling you to give up being a trendsetter and be fashion forward, because you can still wear your suspenders and your bow ties and your tie. You're just doing it in a modern, classy, gentleman, older way. I can't wait to get my gray hairs, Rich.
I've already got some, so I beat you there. I can share.
But, hey, man, listen, if I get to be like Clooney, why not, man?
Yeah, now that's something to think about. You know, I don't think anybody looks at him and thinks grandpa. So all of us.
Hey, by the way, he just had twins, I think. So look at that.
Anything is possible.
All right, man.
Yeah, good discussion. We'll talk to you next time.
Well, gentlemen, that concludes yet another episode of the Life of a Gentleman podcast. I hope you had fun with me. I know I'm not Richard. I know I'm not the voice you're used to hearing. But I'm hoping you had some fun listening to some of the throwback moments that we've had on our show. I mean, we have 71 episodes since we started our show almost 2 years ago. And it's so hard picking the best moments to revisit and rethink about while we're on our journey. So we want to thank you, the listener. Thank you for tuning in with us once again. We also want to thank Richard, CeCe Lyons, Dennis Stiles for recontributing their voice, even though this is a throwback episode. And we want to encourage you to please subscribe to our podcast. We have new episodes every Monday, 3 p.m. Also, if you could do us a favor and just rate and review our podcast, we really do our best to make our episodes top tier and what you guys want to listen to. As a free gift, please download your copy of the book, The Life of a Gentleman, written by our host Richard, which is the framework for this podcast. And you can receive our free gift to you by visiting thelifeofagent.com. So, thank you for tuning in. Next week, we will have brand new content to kick off 2018. We hope you're ready. We're taking this journey by full force. We're about to kick into high gear, and we just hope you're ready. So, until next time, take care. These messages are brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel, specializing in fashion accessories such as ties, lapel pins, and much more. Join the monthly subscription club, where you will receive one necktie and four accessories for $25. To learn more, visit harrisonblakeapparel.com.